Hey everybody, today I watched part two of David Fincher's 1995 film Seven. This segment begins at the time code 7 minutes even and ends at 14 minutes. So we start with Mills' phone ringing. He's just woken up and gotten ready for his day, and we then see him holding coffee in the rain as they get ready to go in to investigate a death. It's a huge guy in the dark. He has a pretty dark apartment, or is it a house? I don't know. Bugs all over the place, and he's face down in a plate or a bowl of spaghetti. Before they go inside, one of the policemen is kind of giving them the rundown of what's going on. They haven't touched anything yet, but they think it's safe to assume that the victim, is it a victim at this point, is the deceased, is actually deceased, since their face is just buried in the spaghetti. They go inside, and Somerset asks Mills, because Mills is the one asking if he's sure if he's dead. He asks him what his goal was in asking those questions of the officer. And this is kind of another take on what things are like in this city, that they do things differently, we assume, than what Mills is used to. And he tells him that he's wondering if he's ever found people who ended up not being dead after all. So they go in and look at this huge fella at his kitchen table. Mills asks who said this was a murder, and Somerset replies no one did. But they see that his hands and feet are bound, and Mills starts going on about a story about a guy who they found with a knife in his back. And before he's able to finish the story, Somerset basically tells him to shut up and so he can focus on what they're looking at. So we don't get to hear the rest of that story. And I can't remember if we do hear the rest of it at some point, but I feel like we got enough information of it that we can have put together that even though it looked like a murder, that it was actually a suicide. He's talking about how there were other markings from the knife in his shoulder, that he was trying to do it himself, and I assume he probably lined it up and then like backed into a wall or something to get it driven into himself. But we don't get any of that information. That's all what I'm imagining from as much as we did. And I think that's a very fine job of writing and performance, that we do get like these clear visuals of what he's getting at. And I appreciate that a lot. So he finds a bucket underneath the table, and he's revolted. He backs away immediately, and it's a bucket of vomit. And Somerset asks if there's blood in it, and it's like, feel free to look yourself. It's disgusting. I'm not going to look again. Let's see. So they wonder if it might have been poison. Mills primarily asks if it may have been poison, and the medical examiner comes in, and they start looking at it. He confirms that this fella is indeed deceased, and Somerset sends Mills out to help question the neighbors. He doesn't like this. He feels like he's being treated as a lesser detective, even though their ranks are the same. And they have the conversation about this in the car afterwards. Let's see, what is, yeah, so he asks him if he's seen his files, seen all the stuff that he's done before coming to this, and Somerset says, well, no, I haven't looked at your files. They head over to the ME's office, the medical examiner, and this person has been dead for a long time. And before this segment ends, he starts to explain a few details about the deceased's stomach. We don't get into those details or the meaning of them because we end with him starting to point out something about the size of his stomach and that it stretches, and also something about the portal into the heart, I think. Something like that. You know, anatomy, gross stuff. So this is, while we don't know at all if this is part of a bigger picture, or if this even was a murder, but it is a gruesome scene. It has very specific details, especially with the hands and feet bound beneath the table. And Mills even speculates on if the guy would even be able to fit through his front door, to which Somerset says, well, he's obviously a shut-in, which would make sense if he was, well, I don't know how he would have bound his hands and feet together himself. There's some type of foul play involved from a second entity. Whether it's a ghost or something. No, it's not a ghost. So I have been trying to think of, I kind of feel like I should have done Magnificent Seven and just kept doing Westerns, but I don't think there's a Western with a 9 in the title. There might be. I really didn't do, my research wasn't super extensive, but I am really liking this movie, and it's, I want to keep watching it right now, but to follow my own format, I can only watch 7 minutes of it per day, and only on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So this is going to take me, how many weeks? 6 weeks to watch the whole thing. And so it's kind of becoming excruciating in the other way. Like, I can't really do it the next time. Now I'm like, I have to wait now. I don't want to wait. I want to just watch the whole movie. But I feel good about how it's, like, narrowing the focus, and we can take a look at the details. I did pull up the X-ray feature for a little bit of this segment, there wasn't anything really super interesting. There's something about who Brad Pitt had studied with. I didn't write it down because I was like, oh, okay, he's probably studied with a lot of people. I don't know why that's particularly special. But the other one is some continuity stuff, that the two sides of the car have different styles of windshield wipers. Okay, that's interesting, I guess. And that the people you see in the background walking along the street don't have umbrellas and stuff, because obviously they were just making it rain on the car itself. There's no need to make it rain all the way down the street if they were on location, or to use, have very specific footage that matched the rain or whatever, if they were using projection or whatnot. This segment further solidifies the creepiness, it's very off-putting once they enter. I mean, even before they enter the place, it's dark, dreary. This is not a happy town that they're in. So I look forward to the next segment, which will be from the 14-minute mark through the 21-minute mark. So join me back here tomorrow about this same time. You let me know what you thought about this much and the film in general by tweeting me at jkire, that's J-K-I-R-E. And be sure to visit todayiwatched.com for more reviews all the time. All right. See you later. Bye.